Reporting from my laundry office in small town Illinois on this cold, rainy Saturday, this is Virginia Kerr, and this is where you come to learn how to stand out and make money with your video. And standing out is exactly what we're talking about today. Because if you want to make money online, you have to get people to A, see you, and B, remember you. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Now, there are different ways for you to stand out when it comes to your video, when it comes to your captions, when it comes to your branding. And I can talk a little bit about the mechanics of that as far as lighting and different shots you can use at the beginning of your video, because the beginning of your video is everything if you want someone to watch you. But if you want someone to remember you, that's a whole different ballgame. Because these days, there are so many people doing the same exact thing that it's very hard for us to get them to remember us. You've heard me talk about it before, getting too tipsy with your content, meaning you're just dishing out tips and hacks and tricks and secrets. And while that can work and it should be part of your video strategy, it cannot be the only thing, because people will jump on the Reels page or jump on the For You page, even watch a YouTube video and get some really good handy dandy tips. But if you are stale and sterile, they won't remember where they got those tips. They won't remember that they should go back to your account to get more. And if they do go back to your account and there's nothing there that really stands out or helps them remember who you are, they've forgotten you. Think about what it's like when you're on Instagram or you're on TikTok or even Facebook. Oh, Facebook. But when you're on there, you're scrolling so fast. There's so much stimuli there. There's so many things that will get you distracted. Here's an example. I will tell people, stop putting hashtags and other accounts in your bio on Instagram, because they are on ramps for people to exit your account and go on to something else. When you are on these platforms and you're looking at so many different things, you are easily distracted, and it's very easy for you to forget where you were or what you were doing. And now you've gone onto this other platform or account and you forgot what you were doing before you got there. And that's not good. You've got to get people to want to stay on your account. And if they do leave your account, they've got to remember who you were so they can go find you again. So that's what I want to talk about today. How do we stand out and then stay standing out so that they remember us and they want to come back to our account? The short answer to all of that is storytelling. If you want someone to remember you, you've got to package your information in a story so that A, they'll want to continue to watch that video or read that caption or read that blog. This applies to everything until the end. And B, you will put such an impression on their brains that they will remember where they heard that story. You can be teaching the exact same thing that your competitor teaches, but if you package it in a way that they only remember you telling them that, then they're more likely to come back to your account. I shared with you in the last couple of episodes of this podcast that I'm really, really burnt out on social media. I do like social media. I don't want you to get that impression. It is what I teach. But I'm really burnt out on having to post multiple times a day in all the places just to stay relevant, because the algorithm, they want us on there as much as possible. They want you cranking out as much content as possible because that's how they keep people on the app. And the only way they're going to push your stuff is if you're constantly on that app, cranking out stuff every day, feeling like you're literally working for the app instead of running your business. And that's not sustainable for us. But if you can master storytelling, if you can master the art of standing out in your industry, then even if your stuff is not getting pushed out, people will go and seek you out. There are people, all of us have them. There are people, like there's one that I follow on Instagram. I have never seen her pop up on my feed. I can't say never. It's been a long time since I've seen her pop up on my feed, but because she's made such an impression, when I want her type of content, I will go to her account. Covet on the Go. That's the name of her account. And she is a fashion influencer. And I just like to see what, when I want to know what the trends are for the upcoming season, I go to Covet on the Go on Instagram. I don't ever wait for her stuff to pop up in my feed because rarely does it ever, if ever. I just remember her. She's made that much of an impression. How does she do that? She's got a very specific style. And I don't think she's ever done more than one or two reels. So reels is not her thing. We're going to talk about that, how you don't have to have the it piece of content to be remembered. You just have to find the piece of content that you like and can stay consistent with and that will help you stand out with your specific type of personality and expertise. And for Covet on the Go, it's stories. So she's on video, she's using video, but she's converting in her stories and she's giving a lot of, you'll hear me say it 100 times, just like everybody else who teaches this stuff, valuable information, because on her feed, it's all ideas for outfits, where to get these outfits. And she's teaching you how to style the outfits, but she's doing it with pictures. And then when you go to her stories, that's where we get to know her. That's where she shares her stories of her life, but she weaves in her expertise of her fashion and her shopping into her story. So we feel like we know her, even though we don't. We're more likely to remember her. So if you're using stories to build your business, now we've been through all the different purposes of all the different types of content. Stories will not grow your account, but stories will convert people into customers and clients when used the right way. If you're using stories, you have to make sure that yes, you're talking about yourself a little bit, but it's still more about the person watching than it is you. That's where people get this mixed up. They think that if they get on and they're cute enough, or if they get on and they share enough behind the scenes, that for some reason, that's going to keep people wanting to come back for more. But that's not true. Unless you are a big time influencer or a famous person, that's not going to happen. Or it will only happen if you have built a brand, built authority enough for people to even care who you are and what it is you do. That's why you can't just do the behind the scenes. You've got to give them information that they can use that can better their lives, whether it's me going to Covet on the Go for fashion, or it's you going to my account for video tips, or it's you going to your favorite health coach to get healthy recipe ideas. They've got to be giving something that someone can turn around and use. And then there's people who are just funny and entertaining. I've got those accounts too. Again, they rarely pop up in my feed, but I remember who they are because they make me laugh. And I want to go to that account on the days that I need those laughs. But they got me to remember them because of their unique style, their unique personality, and the way that they weave their personal life into their entertainment. So what we're talking about today is, how are you going to stand out with your storytelling? One of the lessons in my program, This Is Video School, forces you to go not only to go in and see what makes you stand out with your expertise, but then there's a lesson that goes in on you identifying the pivotal stories in your past and in your present that you can use to teach and relate to your ideal person. Because like I said, if you're just giving tips, then that's going to be forgettable. But if you're giving tips in a way that people can picture you and they use that tip, then now you are more likely to be remembered the next time they want to get that thing that you are so good at giving. And the way to tell a story, the art of it is, the story may be about you, but the piece of content is about the person watching or reading. Again, this applies to a podcast. It applies to a video. It applies to any type of written content, but it has to be about the other person. So what I will do when I'm doing, oh, I have to tell you this. So I'll get more into this as we talk today, but my latest YouTube video is about what I've already been talking with you about, which is me getting burnt out, me actually seeing my numbers decline after I went viral and I had this huge spike in followers and how it sent me on this mental tailspin. But I tested a bunch of different types of ways of storytelling in this video with B-roll. If you don't know what B-roll is the video that you use to prove your point or illustrate what you're talking about. So you'll see something going on while the person's talking. You don't see the person talking. That's a great way to tell a story. So I'm doing more B-roll in this video than ever before. And I'm using my personal story to prove a point. So the video is about me, but it's also about my ideal person saying, are you like this too? Do you feel like you're addicted to Instagram? Do you feel like some days you're working for Instagram because you're constantly having to do all the things to stay relevant? Are you done with it? Do you realize how unhealthy it is, how it can impact your productivity, your content, your family, your mental health? And so then I walk through all the different ways that it can be impacting in those areas by showing me and how it's impacting me. And I know, because I'm a human, that if it's impacting me, it's impacting other people. I'm a video coach. I can crank out video content way faster than most people. So if it's affecting me, I know it's affecting other people. So I'm using my story, but I'm speaking to my ideal person. And anybody can learn how to do this. Anyone can learn how to become a powerful, effective storyteller, but they have to understand the key elements of it. Your story can be about you, but you can't be the hero of the story. You're the guide. If you watch any of my character reels, and character reels are a great example of how you can take educational content and package it in a storytelling format. And when you do that, you always have a character who's representing your ideal person, who is the hero. And then you have a character representing you, whether it's you or another character who's an expert. That person is the guide. So the guide is always helping the hero solve their problems. For instance, if you watch any of my character reels, one of them that I talk a lot about in this upcoming YouTube video, in fact, she makes an appearance a few times, is People Pleasers Express, which is my little diner where people pleasers come to get advice on how to respond to people and how to set boundaries. And in that particular character reel series, Penny, the waitress who works at People Pleasers Express, is the guide. And then the person who comes in as the customer is the hero of the story, which would be the ideal person. The reason that that reel series is effective is because the problems that my ideal person faces when it comes to setting boundaries and responding to people in a confident, direct way are reflected in that customer who comes to People Pleasers Express. They see themselves in that customer. They see themselves as the person who needs the guidance from Penny at People Pleasers Express. And you don't have to get fancy with your characters. You don't have to whip out the wigs and whip out the acting skills and go to acting school to have an effective character reel. It is a great way for you to pull the viewer into your content. And before they know it, they've finished the video. So it's helping with your watch time and it's helping them remember you. It's why I have reoccurring characters who are very personal to who I am, because that helps me stay relevant. It helps me become a person that people remember. They may not even remember my name, but they remember that waitress at People Pleasers Express. Or maybe they don't remember my name, but they remember that quirky lady that loves the cats that's always making the trendy reels that she shouldn't be making. So think about how you can incorporate storytelling with either you simply sharing your story or you taking a character and making that your ideal person, and then you being the guide for that ideal person. And you literally could just, you don't even have to have fancy characters. You could just start with you having one character ask a common question that you get a lot from your ideal people or your existing clients, and then you answering it. And it's just a way for people's brains to get taken into the content without them feeling like they're being talked at. They feel like they're part of the content. Another way to do this that has nothing to do with characters is you find how to share your story and you just, it's face to camera. You're talking to the camera and you're just sharing a story, but there's a purpose behind the story. You're not just on there to talk about yourself or you're not just on there to vent. You're on there to encourage, educate, and or inspire. I was testing this earlier this week, knowing that a reel that's longer than 15 seconds has a very low chance of getting pushed out by the algorithm. I'm not saying they can't, because my People Pleasers Express are usually 15 to 20 seconds and they get pushed out. But I'm saying most likely they won't. Most of mine do not, unless it's a People Pleasers Express, get pushed out to many people. And I'm okay with that because I don't enjoy trends. Trends don't work for me. It doesn't help me stand out. And I find that my audience likes my character. So I'm going to stick with the type of content that my audience likes and that I like doing, or I will not be consistent and they'll move on with their lives to another person because I'm not giving them the content that they like. So with that, I wanted to start, and because my reach is so low that I mentioned on the last episode, my reach is so low right now because I had three videos go viral at the same time, which gave me all these followers. And that was, and by the way, when you've got a video doing really well, that is not the time to back off. That is the time that you want to up your value so that when the person sees that viral video, they come to your account and they see all the other great stuff that you have, and they're more likely to follow you. And I had done that with my strategy. That's solid. When someone gets a video of mine, they come back to my account, they're going to get more of that stuff. And so that was working for me. But what happens after the viral videos are no longer being pushed out by the algorithm, your reach drops. And when your reach drops, that means that if you're losing followers every day, like all of us do, they better be fewer than the people that are actually seeing your content. Because if that doesn't happen, then you've got more people unfollowing you than following you. And now your number's going backwards, which is what mine is. And so my point is, my number was going backwards anyway. Why not test the stuff and see where I can learn from this season in my life? And what I did is I did 30-second reels. I wanted to test storytelling. And there's a couple of reasons why. First of all, it's what I'm talking about right now. I want to be sticky. I want people to remember me, not just for my characters, but also for my experiences. I want them to know that I've had mistakes, that I've done really embarrassing things on my business journey. But I also want them to know that I've made some good decisions too. I can put my money where my mouth is. I've got the experience. I know my stuff. So that's where that authority building content is. But even when I'm telling a story about my mistakes, I can show how I learned from that mistake. And this is what happened because of that, and encourage them to don't give up when you've made that mistake that makes you want to quit everything, because I've been there. And then you tell the story and then you bring it back to them. So the first part of a face-to-camera story that's not about characters, it's just you and you're using your experience. Now in this situation, you are both, hang with me here. In this type of storytelling, you are both the hero and the guide. Because let's say I come on camera, what was one of them I did? And I said, I can't remember exactly what I said, but I said something like, the thing that you're most embarrassed of could be what helps you stand out. So I made it about them and I'm the guide. They're the hero, I'm the guide. Then I storytell. So what do? I say, I used to be so embarrassed of the quirky characters that I did as a child that I never showed them on social media. I learned them from my dad, but when he became mentally ill and I got embarrassed, I decided that I needed to be prim and proper and perfect and not show that side of me. And then it wasn't until I realized that that was what I enjoyed doing that I started to stand out in my industry, because those very characters that my dad taught me how to do were the it factor for me. I worded it in a better way than that. But then the last line was, what is it that you are embarrassed about? What is it that you're ashamed of? Because that might just be what's going to help you relate to your ideal person. So you sandwich the story in between the beginning and the end of you talking directly to your ideal person. So I told a story that made me sticky, meaning I'm more likely to stick to their brain, stick to their memory, by letting them see that I had this weakness or this embarrassing moment or these negative thoughts. And then I realized that I needed to actually use that to my advantage. And so, and then I encourage them to do the same thing. So in that situation, you are playing both the hero and the guide. And then you're making it really obvious that you're talking to them. You're not just showing up like a lot of us do on stories, because again, where people go just to see you because they're your diehards is stories. So in stories, I might just hop on and tell you about how my puppy is in the hospital right now because he ate a bunch of mushrooms and I think he was high as a kite last night. And that would not be something I would put in a reel because it would have nothing to do with my ideal person. It was just a story, because in your stories, you are not only giving value and giving tips and giving resources that you use that your ideal person could use too, but you're also sharing parts of your life to let them feel like they know you, just like Covet on the Go. I'm embarrassed. I can't remember her first name. It makes me want to go look her up right now, but that's her account. I want to say it's Katie. It's Katie. Katie Redmond, if you're listening, I am a big fan. Covet.on.the.go on Instagram if you want to go get some fashion inspiration. And she also has a business, and she's a perfect example. I use her in a lot of my coaching. Again, she has no idea who I am, but she's a great example of someone who, when you go to her account, you don't feel like you're being sold to. She's giving you so much value and visual inspiration and personality in her stories that when she does pitch her products, you're ready, because you're like, oh yeah, I want the same look. I want to look just like Katie. And you trust her because she doesn't just tell you what you want to hear. She tells you what she likes and what she doesn't like. She tells you what looks good and what doesn't look good. And that's important. Like, if you're always just being the positive, feel good person, you won't be remembered, because that's boring. There was a time when you could put those inspirational quotes up on your feed, and you might get some shares and they might remember you. But anymore, I'm not saying you should never do that. I'm just saying, don't rely on that for people to remember you. I'm sure that when you put up memes that are really funny, that don't have your picture in them, don't have you in the video, you might get some traction with them. They might get shared a lot. You might get some reach with that, but why would anybody remember that meme that you didn't make, or it's a video of somebody else that has nothing to do with you? That's why I'm constantly telling people, don't use the voice to text feature. Don't constantly create videos without your face. And if you do, you better have your face in other pieces of your content, because your face and your voice and your stories and your personality and your experiences, good, bad, and ugly, are your brand. I did a post recently that turned out to be the most reach I've ever gotten on a carousel or any type of post other than a reel. And it literally was, the things I was once ashamed of are now my brand. And so this was one that was all about me sharing my story, but my ideal person could see themselves in me, because one of the things I was ashamed of when I first got on Instagram was I was 45 years old and I felt like, whoo, I am way too old to be on this app. And I certainly don't understand it, which makes me feel even older. But when I started to really enjoy Instagram and I stopped caring less and less about what people thought, I realized that, well, dang it. If we 40 plus women and men don't get up here and start sharing our thoughts and our experiences, there's not going to be any inspiration for the younger people when they get older. There's not going to be anything for them to look forward to. And so that was one thing I was once ashamed of, but now I embrace, and I'm constantly dropping my age, because I want people to know that you don't have to be in your 20s and 30s for social media to work for them or for you. And then the next thing that I talked about was, I don't live in a fancy house. I live in the house that my husband's parents built, and it's outdated. And I literally work my business in a laundry room, which is where I am right now. And that used to be embarrassing to me until I realized most people don't live in a fancy house. Most people are trying to, if they're my ideal person, most of my ideal people are trying to balance the business and the family and the personal life and their mental health. And they don't need to feel pressured to have everything look perfect and have the perfect house and be in house debt and have to run out and buy trends all the time. I was telling a friend the other day, I finally decorated for fall this past week. And I'm never this late to the game, but I really enjoyed summer and I just wanted to milk it for all it was worth. So when it finally got cold, I decided to decorate for fall. Now, the old Virginia, I'm going to drop another one of my influencers here, because this does not mean that they're bad people. I'm just telling you the stage I'm in. But one of the other people that I, again, never see her in my feed, but I'm constantly, when I need the inspiration for home decor, I'm going to go to Jackie Daly's account. Again, Jackie has no idea who I am. But in case you're interested, it's J-A-C-I period and then Daily, D-A-I-L-Y. She's gorgeous. She looks like a supermodel. She has the perfect clothes. She has the perfect house. She's got the best decorating style ever. And she's helped me, even though she has no idea, decorate a couple of rooms. Well, I did not go to Jackie's account this year when I decorated for fall. I almost did. And it's no offense to Jackie, but here's why I didn't. I told myself I was not going to buy anything for fall, that I was going to use what I already have and I wasn't going to go crazy with it. And I knew if I went to Jackie's account that I would see something and I would have to have it. Or even worse, I would realize that something that I like is now not hot anymore. It's out of date. It's not cool anymore. Not that she would ever put it that way, but I would see her style and see and compare it to mine. That's all. And I didn't want to do that. So lesson learned, Jackie's very memorable and gives such good tips. And the other thing about Jackie is she does DIYs that you never would think were DIY. So if you're on a budget, you can so do a lot of what she does and stay within budget. But I did not want to do that this year. I wanted to just appreciate what I already have. I'm trying to do the same thing for Christmas, but I did buy a Christmas tree today that was 50% off. One that Jackie actually uses in her living room. And I remembered that. And yeah, so Jackie's got great influence. But my point about this is I'm relatable because I don't have the perfect house and the perfect everything. Now, what Jackie does is awesome. That's her business. And she's killing it with her business. But I'm not an interior designer. I am not here to give you the latest fashion trends. So me trying to make everything look perfect is not going to help me with my video business. It's more effective and helpful if I was to say to you, I built a very successful business in the basement of my 1970s home next to a washer and dryer. So what I was once ashamed of became part of my brand. And you've got elements in your life that you're not proud of, but you don't realize that those are the elements that we actually want to hear because we'll remember you and we'll feel like we know you if you were to share those. What's another one? Oh, another one is that I was ashamed that my dad, I already brought him up. My dad, mentally ill. Now he has Alzheimer's. It's not fun. But for the longest time, I couldn't talk about it. Or when I did, I cried. If you've been on this podcast long enough, you've experienced that. But what I found was what I learned from my dad's personality before he got sick and the stuff that I shared with him before he got sick that I swept away because for some reason I associated that with the mental illness. And when I tapped back into that, knowing that it was not going to be accepted by everybody because obnoxious, loud, quirky characters are not something everybody wants to see, but I like it. And I knew I could stay consistent with it. And I really appreciated that my dad and I have that together. And so now that's where all my characters have come from. In fact, literally one of my characters is a character I played with my dad when I was little, Mary the Mechanic, if you follow my characters. And so that's something that was in my past that I was ashamed of that is now part of my brand. And then overall, in general, I never felt like I belonged because of that. That happened when I was 13. That's why I worked so hard to have a successful career, to get people to notice me and get people to accept me and think that I was a somebody. And so that part about me being embarrassed of my home was a lot to do with that. And then I started to realize I got to appreciate what I already have. And if I really, really want to help people and not just impress people, then I need to be able to share my stuff so that they can see that they've got stuff and it's okay for them to have the stuff, because we wouldn't be human if we didn't have parts of our past and even our present that weren't fun, that were challenging. So I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to go into, and when I do this in the course, I have people go into all the different seasons of their life. So early childhood, middle school, high school, college years, your marriage, any life experiences that were extremely hard on you. It doesn't mean you have to share all of it. It doesn't mean you have to share any of a certain part. You are the gatekeeper of your past and your stories. But how can you share a story that maybe doesn't give it all away, but gives it enough away that people can really identify with you. And then you use that story to teach something. So I just walked through several stories. You can go listen to this podcast again to identify the stories. But if I did what I was set out to do, it was not to make this about me, but to make it about how you need to identify your stories and weave them through your content so that you're remembered. And then I did the very thing I'm telling you to do. I shared my stories to illustrate my point. And if you want to start this with a simple video and stories, experiment there, but you need to practice this. If you want to practice this by writing something down and trying to weave your story in through your talking points, then do that. But you've got to start somewhere, because if you don't master storytelling, you will not be remembered online. You will not stand out, because we won't know enough about you to remember who you are. Maybe you learned how to light yourself when you wear glasses. But if that's the only type of content that I put out there, you might think, oh yeah, who's that video girl? I can go get a couple of tips on how to light myself. But the problem is, A, you won't remember my name. B, what if you don't really need the video tips, but there's something else? Like, My People Pleasers Express has a very distinct purpose, has nothing to do with video, because that is one of my content categories or pillars that I use to identify with my ideal person's mindset when it comes to everyday interactions with friends, family, and business people, clients. And so that's a way for you to identify with them in a different content category than just the nuts and bolts of what it is that you do. You've got to have some sticky content. At the very least, if you're not weaving storytelling into the nuts and bolts tips kind of stuff, which is what I do with my characters, then you've at least got to have 1 to 2 topics or content categories that have that element of storytelling in them, or people aren't going to come back to your account. They're not going to come back to your account. If you found this to be helpful, it would mean the world to me if you would take a screenshot of this, tag me in stories on Instagram at This is Virginia Kerr, and tell me one thing that you took away from this podcast episode. If you're at all interested in my paid program, This is Video School, I'm going to put a link to it in the description of this podcast. You can also find it in the link tree in my bio on Instagram. And then if you want to see that YouTube video, because here's what I'm going to do. That YouTube video comes out Wednesday, and it gives a lot more detail about what I went through and what I'm doing and my big experiment I'm about to start this week, which scares the you know what out of me. If you watch that video, then this is going to be the beginning of me documenting how I'm using the stuff that I'm teaching, and I'm experimenting with it to see how I can find a better work-life balance with social media and content creation. So if you subscribe to that channel, This is Virginia Kerr on YouTube, you will be notified if you put the notifications on to make sure that you don't miss out on anything. And of course, I'm going to share a lot of this here as well, but it's a lot easier to really get your head around it when you see the visuals of what it is that I'm trying to do. Until next time, take inventory and take care. And I can't wait to see you back here next week.